two cases under advisement. Let me get to the first one. And that is case number 11,123. Variance in the rear side yard setback 10 feet. And Mr. Mills, you can take it under the left. Do you want to open the discussions or?
Yeah, I'd like to hear some discussion on it. And we've got the.
Yes, we have. Yep, we do.
We've got the applicant stating that she would otherwise meet the setback requirements on up at the road, except that their utility, if she placed the house up on the 5-foot line from the west on the west side, that you know, she would be on utilities. So there, I mean, that seems a logical reason to not put that there.
Right.
As for the other 5-foot, I guess she wants the area to park. I don't think that there should be any, I don't think it's necessary to argue what the purpose or the name of that part of the structure that juts out towards the street, other than it is integral to the structure. Therefore, it's just an addition. You know, we can sit here and argue all night that a shed is one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's attached, it's part of the building.
Part of the building, yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, Mr. Hudson?
But I'd be interested to hear what anybody else has to say.
Well, I think the applicant's testimony about the porch on the canal side, the reason she wanted 12 feet there and encroached there was because she wanted to have a reasonable use of the porch.
Right.
I think she said she only had 7 feet or something like that.
She had 10 before, but if she moved it in to meet the setbacks, it'd make it to 7. It'd be hard to put the table and the chairs and whatever else they had up there to utilize it with. And she stated, you know, if she felt everybody else had, that she'd like to be able to do as such.
And considering where it is, I don't have a problem with it. So.
So, Mr. Workman?
I don't have any problem with it with the porch. It's fine. I think it just got us threw it off and she put shed to it. If she put a mud room or just a room there, it would be different. So I have no problem with it.
Mr. Riggers?
I have no problem with it.
Okay.
We're about to make a decision on yet another.
Another one, though, coming up. I'm not, yeah.
Kate Windsor property. So we have to, you know, we have to consider, I mean,
both of those,
even the 5 foot on the side.
Right.
There are two variances being sought here. There's the rear yard and the side yard.
Right.
Right.
So.
Right.
I mean, you know, the ordinance was changed to allow people to build upward.
Right.
Because they couldn't build outward. Because of the narrowness of the lots and the size of the lots. I get it with, you know, a manufactured home where there's, you know, there's limited sizes. I believe that's what we're dealing with here. Am I correct? Didn't she say a mon, did she
mean? Yes, 27.5, I think she said, yes, 28-foot double wide.
Yeah, my notes here indicate that it's a modulism.
Right.
So, you know, I get that. I mean, they only make them in certain sizes.
Right.
So.
I believe with that size that she's trying to put on there is the size that's normal in that bigger.
It certainly doesn't mean she can't meet the side yard setback requirements.
That's correct.
Because if you take 27.5 from 50, you still have 2.5 feet left.
Half feet left.
The fact that the macadam isn't as close to the property line, and granting her a variance of 5 feet on that west side, that should, you know, you could argue that it allows ample parking too.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them, that's exactly what they used to, you know, that's what the parking area is where they really get in trouble down there. And I don't have a problem with that parking area, I never did, to establishing some parking area for them. I would say the 28 foot wide is a normal double wide. And based on the utility lines that are up there, she could bring it from the rear into conformance, but she can't do that because of the utility line.
But on these sheds then, or so this structure, I guess the terminology needs to be changed or whatever, so it's like adding another room on. Is this going to be something that we're going to start with if they come in with sheds? Or is this a precedent, or is it say that we've been doing stuff wrong?
I think this one is slightly different in that she has an entrance from that. The other one was going to be attached, but no entrance.
Well, he was going to have it. I told him, I asked him, he could do it from the inside. He was going to. If he was going to have it so he could access his water heater.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to focus on the testimony of this application, not what was on another one.
No, but I'm getting I'm still confused on them. They're both, to me, they're not black and white, though, to me on this one.
The way that I view these attached sheds, whatever you want to call them, whether they're solely accessed from the outside, or whether they're accessed from the inside, or whether they're accessed from both the inside and outside, is that they are an addition to the structure. And that's why if you look at it from a footprint, if you look at it from an aerial footprint, it's an attachment to that structure. And I just have not seen anything that would indicate otherwise that it should be treated like an attached shed. I have yet to see anything, and Ms. Passwaters may be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I've yet to see anything that would indicate that an attached shed should be treated the same as a detached shed.
What's in the code then to address the shed? Are this detached or unattached?
Well, the code deals with accessory uses, one of which is a shed as an example of.
Okay.
And we've discussed that on multiple occasions that as long as you had some level of separation between the two,
okay,
then it is considered detached. It doesn't have to be much.
Just sheet of paper, then you'd be...
If it's detached.
Right.
Then it's no longer a part of that, and that's when those different setbacks kick in for a shed.
Okay.
So what we're looking at here, and I hope that we're not getting confused, because my recollection is the applicant even admitted that calling it a shed is kind of a misnomer here, that this is really a residential addition.
That's what she said.
So for purposes of this application, I think we should probably disregard the term shed and call it what the applicant has referred to it as, which is a residential addition. And it's part of the structure. It's connected to, there's a door coming from the inside to that structure, and there's a door from the outside of that part of the structure.
Okay.
Is it unreasonable to say that instead of 12-foot additions, he puts on an 8-foot addition and move in place the the porch and everything and bring it into compliance? Back to the drawing board type of thing?
If she put an 8-foot, that little area, we'll just call it the addition,
right,
okay, for purposes of this exercise. If she put an 8-foot one there, my recollection, my review of this looks like she's still going to have an issue because...
She'll have 1-foot issue, I think.
She'll have a 1-foot issue. There's still an issue.
Yeah, you're right.
1 foot or 3 feet? Oh, 1 foot, right.
It's 12 by 15. I presume 12 foot is the width that we're looking at.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this drawing is to scale. That's right. Why I'm kind of...
Right.
I guess my only point was is that, you know, it just so happens that it said shed garage. If you scratch off those words...
It's addition.
It's not, you know...
Yes.
She explained
she
that
explained
it was...
That. It's really a mudroom, which she's coming into.
An entrance,
inside or outside.
Porch, whatever.
Yeah, I see the difference there.
And she said that she would, if that utility area, I guess the Cape Windsor has that 10-foot area for the utilities is what's caused it from being able to come any closer to the road, which would alleviate some of the issues in the rear yard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how the board wants to address, you know, again, there's two variances here because there's also the side yard variance as well.
Right.
But, and I don't know that that set of facts necessarily impacts the side yard.
Well, I think she's not being unreasonable by asking for a 28-foot double wide. That's normal in that area. That's the 5-foot setback. That would take care of that. I would agree with that. The
agree with what? That it can't be put on the property?
It can be. What would I say? Can't?
That it can be.
Can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what you say. Can be. Okay. Then we got the other one.
That's the rear yard.
The what?
The rear yard.
Yeah.
The canal is the rear yard?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where she wants a 5-foot variance?
Yeah.
Hey, John. Yeah, she wants 5 foot. The way I look at it, from the rear, 15 rear yard for the purpose of the mobile home with the porch. And the porch is 12 by 27. Got to look at the house.
Yeah, part of it when I look at this, Mr. Mills, is that it's this schematic that we have is inverse to the actual survey that we have on the next page. So
right.
It can be a little deceiving when you look at it.
Yeah, it sure is. So the issue right now is with me is the rear yard. How do we get that in compliance, or can we get it in compliance, or does she have a practical difficulty here?
I believe she does.
There you go.
Because of the utilities
in the front
street, yeah, and also that she stated that you know, to enable reasonable use of the porch, she needed 12 feet. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. But she could bring the home into compliance, right?
They all could be. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I mean.
I know.
They can all be put on pilings and and or
right.
Go three stories. I mean, on this, you've got, let's see.
But this is
you
not
got 30 by
50, 39
minus 25.
Not quite a rectangle, but it's pretty close.
60 by 30 times 3. 900 times 3. You got 2,700 square feet you could build.
Right.
build, not put a modular or manufactured.
But is this uncharacteristic for Cape Windsor?
Not at all.
No, been going on for years.
Actually, she's encroaching less.
Yeah, I don't think she, I don't think there's any question on any of these that it doesn't meet the four standard.
Turn them all down.
Not going to alter the essential character of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that part, portion, is right.
And you could even argue the uniqueness because of the size of the lot.
50 foot.
So you're basically talking about number two.
Question is it necessary? Is it created by the applicant, and is it a minimum?
And is it a reasonable use of the property?
And whether it could be built in strict conformity.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the rule.
That's why I say, is it necessary to enable reasonable use?
I have no problem with it either way.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
All right.
I'd like to make a motion on case number 11,123 that we approve the variance, side yard variance, and the rear yard variance, one of 5 feet and the other, both of them of 5 feet.
Okay.
Make it 15 feet in the rear and 5 feet from the line. And there's a uniqueness to the property. And I think the variance is, this is my opinion, is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. Variance will not, of course, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And the request of the variance is minimum that can afford relief.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,123. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
Aye for those reasons.
Mr. Workman?
Aye for the reasons that were stated.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye for the reasons I stated.
Aye, Mr. Callaway, for the reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,123 is approved.